At the Crossroads is a collection of sermons preached at Crossroads Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. The following sermon was given by Pastor Aaron Smith on Sunday evening, February 18th, 2018.
Jeremiah chapter number 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. I told you I have intentions of going through and finishing up the book of Jeremiah in this first quarter. And that means we've got to move relatively quickly through this book, and we're getting there. Now, tonight, I'm going to highlight for you an ongoing storyline from Jeremiah chapter 35 to Jeremiah chapter 39. So Jeremiah 35 to Jeremiah 39. So you're going to need to keep your Bibles open. We're going to move relatively rapidly through this, and we're just going to kind of move and highlight. But I do want you to begin in chapter number 37. So we're going to begin in the middle, then we're going to work backwards to chapter 35 and move forward through chapter 39. So, and I did say we're just going to highlight, so we're not going to spend overwhelming amount of time in each chapter. Just want to give you the highlights, let you know what's happening. And then at the end, we'll make some application to our lives, and then we'll be wrapped up, ready to go. So Jeremiah chapter number 37, and Jeremiah has been imprisoned once again. And so Jeremiah has been in prison. He's in the dungeon, as the Bible describes in verse number 16. And the Bible says, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is, for so said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." So we should go back to verse number, in the middle there, verse number 17, as Zedekiah calls Jeremiah to this secret meeting, and secretly in the house he said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. There is." And so I want to preach a message entitled tonight, "There is a word from the Lord." There is a word from the Lord. Let's pray together. We'll get started. Our Father in heaven, I thank Thee for Your goodness to us. And God, as we look through these chapters in Your Word tonight, I pray that You would open our eyes and our hearts to the truth of Your Word. May the applications be made and the principles be seen that we might, if need be, make an amendment to our lives. Father, that we would serve Thee always. May we worship You tonight. May we bow our hearts and our praise to You. And Father, that we might see You and know You for who You are as You know us. We pray these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to keep in mind this little phrase here. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is, Jeremiah said. So as we do that and consider that phrase, I want you to go back to chapter 35. And we're going to see in these five chapters how God is dealing with different situations. In chapter 35, we find Jeremiah in the very beginning getting word from the Lord once again while Jehoiakim is king in Judah. And he said, "Go," in verse number 2, "go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah," that's not the same Jeremiah, by the way, "the son of Habazniah, and his brethren and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Ilgadiah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. So in this first chapter here, in chapter 35, I want you to take note that the faithful are rewarded. The faithful are rewarded. So we have to go back, and I would encourage you to do so. As you go back through the books of 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see the connection here where the Rechabites, where Rechab had made a vow, so to speak, during the days of Ahab and Jezebel. So Rechab was a man that dwelt and lived during that time frame. And this was their ancestor, Rechab. Now, they had protested against Ahab and Jezebel for what Ahab and Jezebel were doing in Jerusalem and in Judah and in this area. And they protested against this, and they were basically nomads, so to speak. Of course, we see here what they had agreed to and were commanded to do, that they obeyed, was to drink no wine, don't build houses, you don't have fields, don't plant a vineyard, and you dwell in tents. And they lived outside of the walls of the city. And they were fine there. They lived in their own separate society, so to speak. But they maintained their integrity for several years. From Rechab to Jonadab, through generation and generation, we find them living faithfully here. And God recognized it. Now, they said while they were in Jerusalem was because the Chaldean army and the Syrian army had come in. And Jeremiah says to them in verse number 13, he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drank none, but obeyed their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings. And go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me, therefore saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah, upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Now, we've got to stop here just for a moment, because God, through Jeremiah, is pronouncing judgment against Jerusalem, against Judah. We've seen this, but here's a problem. The problem is the Rechabites, who were normally outside of the city, were now dwelling in the city that God said He would destroy. But here's where we see the faithful rewarded in verse number 18. As Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Basically meaning that they would be delivered from the judgment. Delivered from the judgment here. And so we see this, and Jehoiakim is the king in Israel. And so we see this faithful rewarded. But secondly, in chapter 36, I want you to notice the foolish are rejected. So while the faithful are rewarded, the foolish are rejected. It's now the fourth year in chapter 36. Jehoiakim is king, and he is the son of Josiah. The son of Josiah. Now, it's important that we make note about Josiah. Josiah was one of the godly kings in Judah. The Bible describes him in 2 Kings 22 that he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he followed not in the steps of his father, who was one of the evil kings, but rather he walked in the ways of David, godly king of Israel, and tried to do what was right through his reign. Now, as Josiah came on the scene, there had already been evil king, evil king, evil king, and one, possibly two in between that were good, that lived for just a short amount of time. And so Josiah is coming in at a very bleak and dark time and dark day to bring hope to Israel. But the problem is he's 8 years old. He's 8 years old. So he has some advisors, and he had a godly mother who loved the Lord and raised him right through this time. And in the 18th year of Josiah's life, something significant happened. And I'm going to tell you about it in just a moment. But we fast forward to Josiah's dead, he is gone. His son Jehoiakim is on the throne and ruling in Jerusalem and in Judah. And we see here, we saw a couple of weeks ago that God had told Jeremiah to write all the words that God had given in Jeremiah in a book. How many of you remember that? All right, good. Well, we have part two. Part two says, take thee a roll of a book, in verse 2, and write therein all the words that I've spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all nations from the day I've spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. So we're covering a little bit of time here, and Jeremiah is writing this book. In verse 3, it says, and it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So in this, we see in the fourth year, a lot has happened, and God says to Jeremiah, write a book. Write a book and you write down everything that I have told you from the days of Josiah until now. And so Jeremiah realizes that's a lot to write. And so he is getting ready to call in some help. And so he calls in a man by the name of Baruch, who wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And so you can picture this. Jeremiah calls in Baruch and he says, write this down. So Baruch gets his roll out and he just unrolls and unrolls and unrolls, and he writes down every word that Jeremiah tells him that God told Jeremiah. He was a scribe and he's penning the words. Now, as Jeremiah dictates the book to Baruch, the scribe, there is about to have something take place. Because Jeremiah says in verse number 6, "Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people." And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. So now this is in the fourth year. Now I want you to pay attention here. In verse number 1 of chapter 36, it's the fourth year. It's the fourth year. Now some time has passed. It has taken a little while for Jeremiah to dictate this book to Baruch, that now it's finished, it's complete, and it's now the fifth year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Judah, or the son of Josiah, king of Judah. And it's the ninth month. And the Bible says in verse number 9 that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem. Now, I want you to stop there just for a moment. Because it's the fifth year and they're now proclaiming a fast. Now, this fast was not to Baal. This wasn't to any other god. This was to the Lord. And I want you to pay special attention that Jehoiakim, these people in Israel, these people in Judah, they had kept part of their religion. They kept part of the ceremonial laws, and they were declaring this day of fasting before the Lord. But it was really more of a ritual to them than it was a true fast that was proclaimed. And we find Baruch coming in, and he is getting ready to read to the people the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And I want you to take special note here in verse 10. He's in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house and to the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Delaliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, and Zechariah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Now you say, what's significant there? Now I want you to remember that whenever we start seeing the somewhat of a genealogy, we have to pay special attention here. And there's one name that when I was reading through this jumped out at me, and that's the name Shaphan. Shaphan. Because he heard all about the book of the law. That was Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan. So he's a third generation scribe. You say, what's the significance here? We'll get to that. But I want you to draw this scene in your mind again. Jeremiah writes a book. Baruch is coming in and he's reading the words of the Lord that God gave to Jeremiah to give to the people. And here we have Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, and he's hearing these words. And he goes and he begins to rehearse them of what he heard. In verse number 13, "Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, who very possibly was a descendant, Cushai, a servant of David." And so we're seeing this progression here, and we're drawing some conclusions of the ancestry of what is taking place here. And he says unto Baruch, he says, take thee, or take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. Now stop there just for a moment. In 2 Kings chapter 22, the temple had gone through some ruins. The people of Israel hadn't really used the temple very much, and they were doing some repair work in the house of God when the Bible describes a book of the law being found. Safan, the scribe, was the one that read that book in 2 Kings 22 to the king Josiah when he was 18 years old. When Josiah heard the words of the Lord that Safan, the scribe, read to him, the Bible describes him as renting his clothes, putting on sackcloth and ashes, and proclaiming that God would be the God of Judah and Jerusalem once again, and tore down the prophets of Baal, and Josiah beginning to reign. And now here we have this third generation hearing the words of God from a book. And they were afraid. And they said, we'll surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Baruch in verse 17, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write these all these words at his mouth? And Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. And they did. And now here these scribes, as they heard the words of the Lord, they're getting ready to go into the audience of the king's chamber, or the chamber of Elishama, and told him all the words in the ears of the king. So they're getting ready to tell him. And so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now, one second, we'll stop just for a moment. Somebody tell me, just pop quiz real quick, what happened when the king, Josiah, was read the book? When it was read to him, what did Josiah do? He rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. He fell on his face. He worshiped God. He proclaimed it in there. And now Jehoiakim is faced with a very similar task. Here are the words of the Lord, Jehoiakim. What are you going to do? In verse 22, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. This is just one generation removed. Josiah rent his clothes. Jehoiakim rent the book. And didn't just cut the book up, he burned the book. And he threw it in the fire. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in verse number 27. After that, the king had burned the roll and the words of Baruch, which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it in the former words
that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein? Saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. And his body and his dead body shall be cast out in the day of heat and in the night to frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then Jeremiah took another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there added besides unto them many like words. And we don't hear about Jehoiakim ever again. He's dead. God did not delay from chapter 36 into chapter 37. Remember, he said in chapter 36, your reign is done. It's not going to continue. Normally, we would find that when a king dies, his son assumes the throne. But God said, no. That's not going to happen. And when we come to chapter 37, we see that King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. Now you would think after all of that, you would think that after hearing about your brother and how he died and how he was thrown out to let his body rot out in a field by the heat of the day and the frost of night, that it might wake you up. Wouldn't you just think that? I mean, wouldn't that be a wake-up call for you, I hope? It wasn't for Zedekiah. Because in verse number 2, the Bible says, but neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. So we see, number 1, in chapter 35, the faithful rewarded. Number 2, we see in chapter 36, the foolish rejected. And number 3, we see the future rehearsed. The future rehearsed. Of course, Zedekiah comes onto the throne after Jehoiakim, but he was no better than his brother. In verse number 6, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah again. And he says this in verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall say to the king of Judah that sent unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. So here's Zedekiah. Here was his idea. He said, all right, here we go. He said, my brother was foolish. My brother was judged. He was rejected. And now I'm on the throne. And if we're going to have any hopes to overcome this insurgent from outside, we're going to have to ally with somebody. We will have to have somebody come and help us. And so he contacts the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, ruler in Egypt. Says, hey, can we borrow some troops? We got this guy coming in, Nebuchadnezzar. He's raining fire on us. He's bringing everything down. He's bringing the heat. Can we have some help? And they sent word back and said, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's thinking, oh, we'll just go around God. We don't need him. We just need Egypt. We just need the Egyptians. And God tells Jeremiah, you tell Zedekiah, that's not going to happen. They're going to go home. And the Chaldeans are still going to come in. And look what he says in verse number 9. Oh, goodness. Verse number 9, he says, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had spent the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire. He says, Zedekiah, you didn't understand something. Understand this. You may come in and you may kill some of the Chaldeans and you may wound all of them. that still live. But you need to understand something. Those wounded ones, they're going to get up in the middle of the night, and they're going to come, and they're going to burn the city with fire. And there's nothing you will be able to do. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth to Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. So Jeremiah is getting ready to leave town. And as he's getting ready to leave town, something happens. And it was at the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." He said, they thought Jeremiah was turning coat, so to speak, that he's joining himself with the Chaldeans. And Jeremiah said, "It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened not to him. So Urijah the son, or took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. And basically what happens here, this is when Jeremiah gets put into prison. And this prison is a little different than the other prison. It was a prison that he was in a dungeon, and it didn't have a real floor. It had a miry pit, so to speak, that he began to sink in. And this is the time, as he is there in the dungeon, that Zedekiah, the king, secretly calls for a meeting with Jeremiah. Now, Zedekiah is a little concerned. He's starting to notice, he's starting to pay attention a little bit, that something is really happening here that he needs to pay attention to. And he meets with him in secret. And Jeremiah is rehearsing to him what's going to happen. And he tells Jeremiah, "Now look, I'm going to let you go back. I'm going to send you back, but you can't tell anybody that we had this conversation." But yet Jeremiah had already rehearsed what the future was going to look like to Zedekiah. And it's starting to come to pass. That brings us to chapter 38. In chapter 38, we see that Zedekiah is starting to see that there is some judgment coming. There's a famine that's going to come. And if you'll drop down to verse number 16, or verse 14 rather, Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, "I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me." Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me?" So here's Zedekiah again. It's another little secret meeting. And he wants to know, "Jeremiah, what can you tell me?" Now he's already asked him, "Is there a word from the Lord?" Jeremiah said, "Yes, there is." And he told him what the word of the Lord was. And now here they are again in secret. And Jeremiah, he says, "Look," he says, "if I tell you something you don't like, you're just going to kill me. And if I tell you and give you advice, you're not going to listen to me. So why am I here? Why am I wasting my time?" And so Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life." Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire. And thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand." And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands, and they mock me." Now get this. Can we read this again just for emphasis? This is what Zedekiah was worried about. He said, "I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands and they mock me." He was afraid of being mocked. He didn't say, "I'm afraid to die." He didn't say, I'm afraid to do anything about this. He said, I am afraid that if I fall into their hands, they will mock me. How shallow is this guy? But in verse 20, Jeremiah is going to tell him something. He says, they shall not deliver thee. And then don't miss this. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. He says what he's been saying nearly the entire time. Obey! Obey the voice of the Lord! Hey, Jeremiah, can you tell me? Is there any word from the Lord? Yeah, there is. This is what you need to do. Jeremiah, I'm afraid they're going to mock me. What do I need to do? He says, obey the voice of the Lord, and thou shalt live. But, in verse 21, if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set on thee, or set thee on, and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they have turned away back. So they shall bring out of all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then Zedekiah said unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. Now hold on a second. Remember, back in verse 16, he says, Jeremiah, you can tell me whatever you need to, and you're not going to die. But now there's conditions upon it. He says, Jeremiah, I'm going to let you live, but you can't tell anybody about this conversation. Can't tell a word, can't say a word. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king. Hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee. Then shalt thou say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah, and asked him, and he told them according to the words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. And so we see the fearful reassured. The fearful reassured. He says, Zedekiah, all you have to do is obey the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? Yeah, there is. What is it? And he tells him, obey the voice of the Lord, and thou shalt live. In chapter 39, we see the fate reached. The fate reached. It's the ninth year of Zedekiah, so there's been a few years pass since Jeremiah has had this conversation with Zedekiah. It's the 10th month. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th month of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, and the 9th day of the year, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. In verse number 4, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, he obeyed the voice of God and went unto the princes. No. I went off script, didn't I? Now, is that not what God told him to do? Zedekiah, when they come and the princes are there, you take yourself to the princes and thou shalt live. Continue. Verse 4. When he saw the men of war, then they fled. and went forth out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate, betwixt the two walls, and he went out of the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. And the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire. And they break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon and the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. Verse 11, now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. We'll stop there. Zedekiah had a choice. Jehoiakim had a choice. The Rechabites had a choice. They all chose differently. The Rechabites remained faithful to what they knew they were to do, and God rewarded them. Jehoiakim ignored and even mocked what God had said. Zedekiah, man, he really seemed like he was getting it for fear. And when it came time to obey, he ran. And it cost him not just his life, but the lives of many. And the walls of Jerusalem torn down and the whole city burned with fire. Simply because he did not obey. Here is what it comes down to. I want to make this application. We have the Word of God. We've been given this. God's preserved it for us. What are you doing with it? You see, the Word of God is only as effective in your life as you let it be. Jehoiakim took it, cut it up, threw it in the fire. Because he didn't believe this to be the word of the Lord. Not this particular one, but what Jeremiah had sent him. And he mocked it. But here's what we need to understand. Our belief is not what dictates whether or not this is God's word. God has established his word. It's simply up to us to obey it. You want the Word of God to be effective in your life? Obey it. You want the Word of God to work in your life? Obey it. Or, and hopefully this would be the case in this room tonight, or you can be like Jehoiakim and you can mock it. Or you could be like Zedekiah and say, oh, I'll do it. And then when it comes time to obey, you tuck tail and run. Is the Word of God effective in your life? Are you letting it be? I'm amazed at the number of times that Jeremiah told Jehoiakim, he told Zedekiah, he told all of Jerusalem and all of Israel, all you have to do is turn from your way. Make an amendment to your life. Acknowledge where you've been and turn to God. And all that He has said, He will not bring. And I want to remind you very quickly, this is not what's happening here with Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. This didn't happen in a matter of days. Did you see the time frame that passed from the time Jeremiah had this conversation with Zedekiah to the time that they came in and besieged the city? It was a good long time. And here's what I'm saying by way of application. You may think that what you're doing today, you're getting away with. But I want to remind you about the long suffering of God. This may be a message in your ears tonight to just simply say, amend your ways. Come back to God and live. Jeremiah had been preaching for some time here. At this particular point in time, Jeremiah had been preaching a little over 20 years before the first army came into Jerusalem. Jeremiah preached. Jeremiah preached. And again, you may be sitting here saying, oh, it's not going to happen to me. That won't happen to me. It might in 20 years. It might in 10 years. I don't know. You say, you're pronouncing the judgment of God on my life? No. I'm just simply saying we need to obey God's word. And if we want the blessings of God on our lives, we'll obey God's word. But it's your choice. How effective is the word of God in your life? It's only effective if you obey it. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Is there any word from the Lord, Jeremiah? Oh yeah, there is. And I submit to you tonight, there is a word from the Lord. And we must obey it.
Thank you for listening to this sermon on At the Crossroads. We hope it was a blessing and encouragement. Please contact us with any questions or comments. Send email to pastor@crossroadsbaptistmobile.com or call us at 251-639-9500.